where we're going to be again. James chapter 4. We'll finish out James chapter 4, and then we'll take a little break with Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, and then we'll come back into James chapter 5 after that. But James chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 13 here in just a moment, a couple of verses before we get to that as well. Title this morning's message, How to Plan for a Successful Future. How to Plan for a Successful Future. It's part of our series, How To, for those who want to. Not everybody wants to plan for a successful future in the right way, and what the Bible says. And so this is for those who want to. How To for those who want to. James, all the way through this, is a book of how to practical Christianity and staying in that fellowship with God. Speaking of, mom hollering, it was supper time and so forth. You remember when you were younger and you would make plans with your friends, you were busy in the background, making all these plans. We're going to go here, and then we'll go pick up this person, and then we'll go over here, and we'll eat, and we'll go over here and do that, and then, so forth and so on. And so you get it all planned out, and then you go to Mom, and you ask Mom, Mom, can I go? And she always says, ask your father. You didn't want to ask your father. You know why? He'd always say no. Dad would always say no. How many of you did it anyway? You just snuck out the back, and you did it anyway. And it turned out to be one of the worst times that you'd ever had, and with all the problems, and then, they find out, and now you're in trouble, and then you get grounded until you were 16. Yeah, you remember those days? Oh, what fun. As Christians, we do the same, do we not? We go to God, and we got a plan, and we got it all formulated and all figured out, and we know exactly our part. We know exactly what we want God to do and how these other people are going to respond and what the end result is going to be. And we go to God and say, God, here it is. And God says, no. We do it anyway. What usually happens? We suffer the results or the consequences, do we not? Today, most Christians do not even include God in their plans, mostly because they're afraid that He will say no. And so it's much easier that I'll just live carefree, and go out and throw caution to the wind and just do what I wanted anyway and just go and do it. And then whatever happens, happens, down the road. And then they wonder why my Christianity is not all that great. Not what everybody told me that it was. Well, it's because God is left out of my plans, you see. And in the future, making plans in and of itself is not wrong. We all want a successful future. I mean, who gets up in the morning and say, okay, how can I be a failure today? Step one. You see, none of us want that to happen in our lives. We never plan for that to happen. But the key to success in anything is to make plans. Try building a house without plans. Okay, try to go on vacation without a plan. What usually happens? And so my wife, she prides herself into just winging it. And we get about halfway through and it's like, how's that working out for you? And so can we go back to my plan now? You see, because it's usually a lot better. And so planning for the future is not wrong, but there is a right way and a wrong way in order to make plans or to formulate, decisions that are coming up and how it's all going to work out and go down the road. And so there's a right way and a wrong way. And so let me ask you another question. How many of you would be willing to change your job or make plans for college, plan a vacation or marriage, marrying somebody or to plan out your investments based solely on the horoscope or the toss of dice? And just let it fly. Well, you say, well, that's kind of dangerous. That's kind of stupid. James is going to tell us the same thing, that when we do not include God in our planning, it's just as dangerous and just as irresponsible when we do not include God in our plans. We might as well throw the dice if it's going to be on our own accord without God and see what happens. And so James has already told them in verse 6. Notice what he says in verse 6, chapter 4. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud. James told us here that God resists the proud. The proud says, I don't need God to help me with my plans because I've got it all figured out. I know exactly what I want to do. And if I take this to God, God is going to say no, so it's going to work out anyway, and so I'm just going to do it without God. I don't need Him. Y'all can go pray about it, but I don't need to. These are believers. Now, they may not say that flat out, but that's the result when they don't ask God. Verse 7, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And submit yourselves, that is, fall in line with what we talked about this last week, fall in line with what God wants in your life. We're a servant. Servants are supposed to serve. And the Bible says we're not to lean on our own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him and follow after Him. But we don't like to do that. We think that we've got it together and we know what we want and we go and we do it. Verse 10, he says, humble yourselves. Humbleness is somebody that depends on God to help with the process that we're thinking about doing, the plans for the future, these decisions that need to be made. I am dependent upon Him. I can't make this life without Him. I'm going to humble myself, and whatever He wants done in my life, that's what I'm going to do. There is a right way to plan for a successful future, and they were failing. And so how can you plan for a successful future? Let's take a look. First of all, remember to include God when you begin to plan. Usually, God is not our first response. He's our last resort, is it not? He's our last resort. When not our first response. Well, let's check this out with God. Let's see what God wants. Let's do that. Rather, we just jump into it headlong and we go on. And then what we need is for God to rescue us then. You see that? These believers considered themselves to be mature Christians. Yet they failed to remember that God needs to be the starting point of all of our planning. That's why James says in verse 13, notice what he says. He says, go to now, ye that say. He says, go to now. You know what that basically in modern day language? It's, come on, man. Come on, you guys. What are you doing? He said, this is not what's supposed to be going on in your life. And he says, James gives three reasons why you must include God in your plans. Now, they were confident in their own planning. They were arrogant and their own minds. And James couldn't believe it. So he says, come on, man. First thing here, if you living for self, know this, James says, why you must include God in your plans. Living for self contradicts your Christian life. Living for self, my own plans, I'm going to do what I want, regardless of how it's going to shake out, no matter how it's going to affect somebody else, I'm going to live, make the rules, make the plans, decide things on my own, keeping watch of number one in my life. And I'm the one that's important here. And so these folks were experiencing financial problems. They were letting others go hungry as a result. They were favoring the rich. And now they say here, and we're going to find out in a minute, they're going to say, I'm going to go to a new city, I'm going to get in on the ground floor, and I'm going to buy and sell and buy and sell and buy and sell. When I get back, I will be Mr. Money Pockets. You will see when I get back, because I'm going to go here and I'm going to buy for small. I'm going to take this over here and trade it for something bigger. And then I'm going to take it over here and I'm going to sell it bigger, more and more and more. And I get all this money when I come back. And you're going to see I've got this all figured out. Once again, they only considered themselves. Notice in verse 13, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. So they know when they're going. They know how long they're going to be there. They've got it all planned out. We're going to buy and we're going to sell. And we are going to get gain. In other words, lots of money. We'll be back and you'll see. Notice they didn't say, we will do this. We will do this thing for the glory of God. Huh. Not one word about God and their plans. What was their priority? Their priority was to buy, sell, get gain, more and more that I can have. Verse 2, look at what he said in chapter 4, verse 2. He says, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war and you have not because you ask not. And he says, this whole fussing and fighting and grabbing and searching and trying to get all that you can while you can. I want to be the one with the most toys because then I'll win. See? Yeah. That's what they were doing. James wants us to know that our planning is wrong when our attitude is I will do this. I will do that. I plan to do this. I will go here. I will go there. When they give absolutely no thought to their relationship with God. When you make plans, honest and profitable ones that you might make, but if you make these without asking God, how are you any different than an unbeliever? Satan had the same eye problem. The Bible said he was filled with pride. Bible says here, we just read and talked about last week, God resists the proud. And so every you get this eye problem and you begin to oppose God and then you begin to find out that, hey, life is not so good anymore. What's going on here? That's because God is standing in the way, opposing the proud. They didn't ask God for His wisdom. And so they said, I can do this, I can do that, and I don't need God. Y'all go ahead and sit around here and you pray, go to church, do all these things. He said, but it's not for me. I'm going over here to this city and I'll be back. And so it contradicts living for self, making the decisions all on your own without God, contradicts your Christian life. When you make plans in your life for a new job or buy a new home, examine what it involves. Take it to God. And then ask God, God, will this take me away from your house? Lord, will this rob me of my quiet time with you? People say, oh, but it's more money. It's got to be God. Oh, no, because Satan also dangles the little carrots out there as well. And so you have to be careful. God, will this interfere in my relationship with you? Because that's what's most important in my life. That's why I'm praying about this thing, you see. If we don't, we live for self, we don't need God's input. We just say, oh, it's more money. It's got to be of God, and off we go. I don't need to ask God about this. It's all figured out. To make plans that'll take you away from the Lord contradicts your Christian life. That's what he said in verse 8. Verse 8, he says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Every time that we make a decision without God, we keep moving farther and farther away from God's overall will and plan and path for our life. Anytime we set it aside from God and His Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You set aside the Word of God. Why? I have to now because I took a higher paying job and it takes more hours. It takes more time. It takes away from the family. It takes away from the church. And you see, but it was more money. It had to be of God. Now I've got a problem over here. You see, we're thinking like the world because we didn't invite God into the planning. Leaving God out of your plans is to plan as the world does, as though He didn't exist. That's what we do when we leave God out of our plans. Second reason to include God, you have no clue what will come tomorrow. You have no clue what's going to come tomorrow. Verse, you never know what the government's going to do. Verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And we'll stop right there for just a moment. You've heard people say, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Huh? Well, don't count on your tomorrows until they get here. Huh? Ever been so sure that I was going to get that raise? You know, ever been so sure, you know, that the promotion was coming or the bonus was coming? And so you went out and you bought that thing you've been waiting on to afford for some time now. And you get it. And then the raise falls through. Now I've got payments I've got to make. Oh, man, the credit card bill comes due now, you see? Because I was just oh so counting on that. James says, we have no clue what will happen tomorrow, let alone the future. Murphy's Law is always true. What will go wrong, what can go wrong, will go wrong. You ever plan a picnic and then, you know, you look at the calendar, you know, and it's going to be all nice and sunny and 80 degrees, and then you get there and it's pouring rain. Yeah, so much for knowing about tomorrow, what tomorrow holds. We have no clue about tomorrow. Too many uncertainties in life. It is not wrong to plan for tomorrow, but it's wrong to think that my plans are sure about tomorrow. You need to understand, we are dependent individuals. We are dependent upon certain things that are out of our control. You see, we're dependent upon the weather sometimes. We have absolutely no control over that. We have no control over pandemics or illnesses that might come in our way that we didn't know about. We are dependent upon other people also being a part of this. I had something just Friday, you know, and I was talking with one of my clients, and you know, we got a little problem here, and so we were on the phone, and we're going back and forth, and we get formulate a plan. They're going to sign this document. I'm going to send it over here. We're going to do this, and we're going to go and sign some paperwork and so forth, and we got it all figured out. We got it all planned, and I could not get a hold of the people that's holding all this thing up now. All day long, I'm getting madder and madder all the while because my plan is not coming to pass. Whoa, you ever have that happen? We're dependent individuals. God, on the other hand, to whom we should include in our plans, is independent of anything and everything. That's why we must include God, because God knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. Nothing catches Him off by surprise. And so God knows. That's why we need God in our plans. He can see all of those things that we're not aware of, that have no clue about in life. But we are dependent. Only God knows what we'll bring tomorrow. To not include Him in your plans is just worldly. It's just worldly thinking that I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Trust me, on Friday, I thought so too. How'd that work out for me? I go, well, I'll start on it again Monday. Verse 14, you cannot change the choices by which you make in life. You cannot change the choices in which you have made in life. Look at verse 14. Notice what he says. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Notice now, it's a very familiar verse. For what is your life, or lifetime, okay? What is your lifetime? He says, it is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away, he says. It just vanishes away. You know, we've heard the expression that life is short, but it seems like the older you get, the faster it rolls. The calendar pages, you just start to rip them off. Used to, you know, you'd flip the day planner, you know. Now you flip the calendar, you know, because it seems like it's just going faster and faster, like a big snowball, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's headed downhill faster and faster, picking up speed, you see. And so, at least that's the way it is with me. If life is so short, and we aren't sure about tomorrow, why spend our entire life according to our own plans? Why would we do that? I don't know about you, but I've made a lot of mistakes in life. I've done a lot of stupid things. We won't go into those. That's another day. But you know, the emergency room and the funeral home are filled day after day with people that never planned to go there that day. And tomorrow's a whole other day. And there'll be different people at the emergency room. They never planned on it. Funeral home. Wasn't planning on it at all. We don't know about tomorrow. We cannot change our choices that we make in life either. We have no clue about these things. Most of us will only be given 70 or 80 years, according to the Scripture. Therefore, you can't afford to spend your life making mistakes, and you certainly don't want to waste your life living for stuff of this world. But yet we do it all the time. We don't take it to God. Why? Because we know, just like our Father, He's going to say, no, you can't have that. That's not good for you. That's not what I have planned for you. Make your decisions wisely, okay? Because He says here in verse 14, He says, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor, your life. He said, the word vapor there means puny is what it means. Very small, minuscule, as compared to eternity. and wise choices that count for eternity rather than earthly choices and planning that we make. And the word vapor there, it's a mist is what it is. You know, you got the teapot on the stove and it begins to whistle and you can see the steam coming out. And, oh, so pretty, you know. But you watch it as it goes up and it just dissipates and it's gone. Vanishes away is what he said. Someone has said this, and I love this. I've got it where I can see it. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's lived for Christ will last. Why would we not include God in our plans to make wise, eternal decisions? Instead of making a lot of mistakes along the way, falling down. Oh, I thought it was going to turn out better than this. I didn't expect this to happen in life. God knows all of those things. You need to get Him involved, included in those plans. Take a look. Number two. What do we see here? How can you plan for a successful future? Realize that ignoring God's Word brings problems into your life. I don't need God. I'm okay with that. Look at verse 16. We'll come back to verse 15. Catch that in a minute. He says, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil, he says. When you suffer when you rely upon self. They were worldly in their planning, and they began to brag on their independence from God. This is what they were doing. They were boasting. The word boasting there means like a peddler type thing. You see, so their boasting was, now you remember, he told us back in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive a greater condemnation. And so they were getting up and they were peddling all this worldly stuff in trying to overcome their finances. And this. You go to enough churches today, you'll find the same stuff going on today. How to get rich. How to pay off all your bills. How to have two jets like I have. See that? On and on it goes. And so it's still being done today. This is what was happening there as well. And so they were boasting about this. They were trying to sell something. They were peddling this. You remember the Westerns? You remember the old peddler, you know, that would come in on the wagon, you know, and the one horse, you know, in the covered wagon, and the pots on the side were clinging and clanking all around as he come in, and everybody could hear him, you know, and he comes in with a tonic, you know, for only a dollar to buy his tonic. It could cure everything from acne to warts, you know, or anxiety and all of these things. Whatever you have, it could cure. These believers were peddling their idea that they didn't need to depend upon God to meet their needs because they could do a pretty good job themselves. Perhaps they were educated, you know, in finances. Perhaps they were this, they were that. But didn't he not tell us earlier that all wisdom, manly wisdom, he said, is worldly thinking. He says, seek the wisdom from above, which is pure and undefiled, is what we're supposed to seek after as well. And so James says such bragging, he says there in verse 15, such rejoicing is evil. The word evil there means hurtful. Hurtful. Huh. Can we as believers be any more arrogant towards God than to depend upon our own plans instead of His will for our lives? Could it be any more hurtful to Him? Then they were getting angry. They were getting angry when God didn't rescue them from their messed up lives and fix it for them, you see. See, they weren't going to God in the first place, which hurt God. And it's because God wants us dependent upon Him. He wants us coming to Him. He doesn't want to see us falling down and making mistakes all the time. And so, no, He wants us to enjoy life, the abundant life that's only found in Him. How do you suffer when you rely upon self? Verse 6 and 7, he says, notice it says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And so if you don't rely upon God, and so how do you suffer when you rely upon yourself? God was opposing their plans and their efforts because of the pride that was in their life, and He was withholding His grace. Grace is what we need day in and day out, is it not? Grace is what makes the, you know, it's like the butter on the biscuit, you know, it makes everything slick, you know, and it's like oil in the machine, and so that we can move forward in life and so forth. And so God was resisting them, withholding His grace, and so therefore the devil was getting a foothold in their lives. It's what He said. He says, resist the devil and he'll flee from thee. But you can't without God's grace. You can't. And so that's how they were suffering. To brag about your own future plans is to mock the only one who can really control and change what's coming down the road. When you deliberately ignore God, when you plan, you insult His character. God, I don't need you. I've got this. Not only will you suffer the consequences when you rely upon your own plans, but you sin when you refuse to submit to God. Notice what he says in verse 17. When you flat out refuse to include God in your plans. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, what is it that they knew to do good? Include God in your plans, to submit to God. Set aside the pride in your life. Search out the Word. Be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. All of these things he's already told them here. And so what we find here is to them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To not include God in your plans, James says, is sin. Think about that. Sin is more than just doing something wrong. When you and I sin, when we fail to do what we know is right, this is what was going on in their life as well. And we do as well. We are sinning against God. When we sit over and say, hey, what do you want to do next week? Well, I don't know. Let's go rob a bank. I don't know what you're going to do. But, you know, God says, you know, you didn't include me in your plans, because I would tell you how that's probably not going to be a good idea. Yeah, you see that? But we don't. And James says that's sinful when you don't include God in your plans. And so James told us, he says, make your plans according to your wants instead of God's word and will is sin. Every time that you do that, without asking God, what should we do? Now, this can be down into the mundane, everyday things of life, you know, that we might consider the small things. If it's a decision, ask God. Get in the habit of asking God so that you'll know what to do. When a big one comes along, you say, oh, I've got to go to God about this. Because it's automatic at that time. When you sin against God, you ask God to chastise you, do you not? Yeah? God, I'm not going to ask you about this. I don't need to include you in my plans. I'm just going to do this. James says, that's sin. That's sin. Just as an earthly father disciplines his own son whom he loves, God does the same thing because he loves us. God reveals his will in his word, and yet it was the very thing they were ignoring to change their lives and bring about maturity in their life. And they said, we don't need it. We don't want it. We'll make our own plans. Don't ignore God's word when you plan, because you'll suffer greatly for it. And then finally, remain interested in God's will as your best practice in life. Verse 15. Let's go back to that. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. First thing, you must be aware that God has a plan for you. You need to be aware of the fact that God has a plan for you. If the Lord is willing is not some type of good luck charm that we tack on to it there somewhere. And we say, God, we say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go. And if the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we used to say. And so we just kind of tack that on to the end. We've never asked God. We've not been praying to God. We just tell somebody, you know, if the good Lord will and the creek don't rise, then we'll be there. There you go. We just kind of throw it in there that, you know, but it ought to be an attitude that my plans are subject to His will for my life. I will be there, Lord willing, if the Lord allows it. If the Lord works it out, if the Lord doesn't change my plans, I will do such and such. You see, that's what it needs to be. But it can only be that way, Lord's will, Lord willing, if we've already gone to Him in the first place, asking Him to set up our plans for our life. That's when it happens. If the Lord will, it assumes two things. If that's the heart attitude that you have and you're praying, is that God's got a plan for my life. Even the mundane matters of life, is that God has a plan for my life. He knows what I need, He knows when I need it, and He knows what's good for me. And so that my God, who knows all about tomorrow and the day after as well, He's the one that has no interference from anyone. He's independent of everything that might come along the path here. He's not dependent upon anyone else or anything else in life. And so God is the one who has a plan for my life. And if God has a plan for my life, that'll work out. And it'll be the best plan possible. The Lord's will for my life be done. That's what I want. Second thing is that God is sovereign and in control. We need to realize that we're not in control of our lives. As a Christian, I've been bought with a price. I am His servant. A servant serves. It does what the commander says to do. You may not know what God's plan is for you tomorrow. You may not even like what happens tomorrow, but you can accept it when you realize that God has a plan for your life. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was thrown into the pit, and they said, oh no, we can make money off of this, and they drag him back out and they sell him into slavery. But sold him over into Potiphar's house, and she lied about him, and he ran off and left his coat, and it threw him into prison, you know, and on it went, and then they put him in the second spot underneath Pharaoh. Family comes along years later, and they said they were so afraid that he was going to punish them or kill them, and he says, oh, hold on, you meant it for harm, but God had a plan for me. You think He enjoyed all of that suffering and problems in life? You see, we got to hang in there knowing that, and this is what He started in chapter 1, is the fact that endure, be patient in these tribulations by which you're going through. Watch what God is doing in your life. Watch how He will grow you in life. You may not know what God's plan is for tomorrow. You may not like it, but you can accept it when you realize God has a plan for my life. We need the attitude. Are you going to church tomorrow? I'm planning on it, Lord willing. It shouldn't be some pious religious thing, but an honest confession of the heart. You see? You going to work tomorrow? I'm planning on it, Lord willing. See? Why? Because we don't know what's going to happen. We're dependent individuals. And so, Lord willing, that's the plan that I have. If that's God's will for my life tomorrow. If we have that mindset and something happens tomorrow and we can't go to work, I'm not going to get bent out of shape. Why? Lord willing, it wasn't His will for me to go. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Calvinist, okay, and everything's going to happen, and every time I fall down, you know, I get up and say, thank you, Lord, I'm glad that's over with. Now we can get on with the day. And I'm not saying that either, but sometimes we shouldn't get bent out of shape if we have that heart attitude that we've been praying, asking God to guide us and direct us in our plans and our future, and watch as He unfolds these things as the turns that they might make, realizing that His plan is still there. It's not changed because of this little bump in the road. We need the attitude that, hey, I'm planning on it, Lord willing. And then finally, you have to adjust your plans if it doesn't fit God's will. God won't adjust His will for your life. He won't adjust His word. You've got to adjust your plans. Nothing wrong with you making plans, but you'll need to be willing to adjust your plans when they don't agree with God's purpose for your life. That's what submission is all about. That's what He told them. He said to submit. When Jesus was in the garden, He prayed. He said, oh, and I pray that I wouldn't have to go to the cross. But He ended that prayer with, nevertheless, thy will be done. See that? It's not something that I want to do, or I shouldn't say that, because He had the joy set before Him was the cross. But He says, if there's any other way possible. But He said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Jesus made an adjustment. That's what we need to do as well. Adjusting to God's will works much like a coffee filter. You get the coffee filter, you know, in the coffee pot, and you put the coffee in there, and then you pour the water in, and as the water goes through, it, the filter begins to screen all of it out, and you're left there with a nice, good cup of coffee down in the bottom, and all the grounds are still up in there. Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says that you may know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. God's Word is the filter. See that? That we need. When you run your plans through the filter of God's Word and will for your life, what comes out tastes awful good. Too many Christians look at God's will for their lives as bitter medicine that they have to take. I don't want that for my life. Remember this, the will of God for your life comes from the heart of God. Remember that. When your plans don't fit His purposes, you need to adjust your plans. How do you plan for the future? Well, do you use a crystal ball? Do you roll the dice? You spend hours and hours on the psychic hotline? I'm assuming they still have those. I don't know. You may consider those things as foolish, but if you do not include God in your planning for the future, you make decisions on your own, it's just as foolish to do those things. You can make good plans for life. Most of us have. But don't settle for good when you can have the best. And that's what God will provide. Have you made plans without God? Life's not going very well. Greatest thing about God is no matter how bad you mess things up with Him, there's always hope and there's always help to get back on track once again. But you have to be willing to admit your failure. Do that today. You turn over your life to Him and let Him straighten it out. God, here it is. Let's plan this out. Which direction do you want me to go? Which turn am I going to take in life? You see, when you come to know Christ as Savior, His plan for you is to serve faithfully in one of His churches. And today's the day to serve the Lord. So don't get caught up in the future and forget to live for Him today either. Many of us want what's called a 911 God. We say, God, this is my plan. I don't want you messing with it, but you stay close by. In case of an emergency, I'll reach out to you and I'll press the little red button on my phone and I'll start praying and I'll see if you can get me out of this mess. See, if you spend all of your time and plans on yourself and the things of life, what are you going to do when you stand before the Lord and you have no eternal investments to show for your life? Think about that. You see, when Jesus asked you, did you serve in my church? Did you sacrifice for my children? Did you share the gospel? Life is like a coin. You can spend it any which way you want, but you only get to spend it once. That's all it is. Don't just spend your life, invest it. You want to live the satisfied life, you have to choose God's way. What'll be your choice? You're going to serve self? You're going to serve the Savior? You say, well, I'm going to serve the Savior. Then He's got to be a part of your planning in life. When you sit down and you start to pray and say, God, here's what's before me today. I got this problem, this problem, this problem. Lord, how are we going to work through this today? How are we going to get down the road to where you want me to go? Day by day, seeking the Lord's guidance. Day by day, His plan for your life. I'm not going to live my own way, my own thinking, my own doings, because I've made a mess of everything. But right here, from this day forward, Lord, I'm counting on You for the plan that You have to be made known to me today. Stand with me as we ready for a hymn of invitation. God is working on your heart. Been a long time since you've asked God.